One of the things that I learned after coming to Houston is growing goldfish. I was able to start with small, you know, 1-inch size fish and grow them into 4, 5, or 6 inches. And I was very proud of that. However, the last 2 years were bad years. For some reason, they stopped growing and began to die. I tried different kinds of fish, never with same results. Two weeks ago, after listening to this particular message in Chinese, a wholehearted congregation member went home and gave me 2 bottles of special oxygenated water, telling me that this will work. If you put your sick fish in this water, they will come back. I tried, but it still died, one of them. So I was at the verge of calling it quits. I'm thinking about cleaning out the fish tank, either sell it on eBay or give to someone. Then I decided to take some water from my tank to a pet store for analysis. I was told the pH was way too high and there's too much ammonia in the water. These are all bad news for the fish. So I changed the water and did all the right things and let the water sit for over 1 week. And so far, they seem to be quite happy in that particular tank. Hope it will last. You see, in order for the fish to grow, the environment must be in the right condition. In order for the fish to grow happily, to swim around, to be lively and energetic, the environment has to be in the right condition. The same is with Christian growth. You remember the spiritual heights that you experienced in the summer camps or in one of those mission trips. You were excited about your faith and wanted to tell everyone about it. And then the excitement began to cool off, and some may even stopped coming to church altogether. What happened? These past few months, we had learned that we are to grow as Jesus did, and that we are also to grow to be more like Jesus. However, sometimes we feel that we are not growing as we should, or we may have stopped growing. Why? We are still maintaining all the outward activities and all the functionaries of a Christian. But inside, we know something has happened. We're just not growing. Is it because some unhealthy or poisonous ingredients might have creeped into our lives? This morning, we want to take a look at the Corinthians, the Christians in Corinth. Through them, we want to identify some factors that obstruct and they are not conducive to Christian growth. Let's take a look at some of the characteristics of this church. First, about its strength. From Paul's 2 letters to the Corinthians, it appeared that this church had many spiritual gifts. And so the entire chapter 12 is devoted to the spiritual gifts present among them and how they are to use those special gifts. They are also fervent in believing Christ's second coming and therefore eagerly waiting for his return. Second, they also have their weaknesses. When you look at these 2 letters, the weaknesses are evident. They had started a love offering for the suffering church in Jerusalem, but for some reason they may have forgotten about this. It's like a 5-minute fever. Or there was jealousy and quarreling among them. There was blatant immorality. Someone had married his stepmother. There was fighting among them to the extent that a lawsuit was filed against another Christian. They were eagerly waiting for Christ's return, but misunderstood the nature of Christ's resurrection and also their own resurrection. And there were divisions among them. One group claimed to belong to Paul, another to Peter. Along with divisions, there were also favoritisms, as if one group would be stronger and better and more powerful than the other. As if you were baptized by Paul, you are more spiritual than Peter. Oh, these events greatly disturbed Paul, and they were the reason for his writing of these two letters. Paul also saw these problems and issues, not just issues per se, but symptoms of a childish and immature faith. For this reason, he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ." They were born again. Now they had a new life, and they had started growing. But the growth was being restricted or arrested. Something had happened to their spiritual life. This church at Corinth could be any church in the USA in this 21st century. When you look at the churches around us, including this one, look at all the different gifts and the natural talents God has given, you know, to us. But isn't it also true, like the church in Corinth, this church and other churches also have our share of problems? In many churches, we observe divisions among believers. We are separated by race, by education, and financial status. Instead of loving one another, there are quarrels. Lawsuits among Christians and between churches are not uncommon. There's even a ministry called the Peacemaker Ministry. The sole objective is to help to reconcile between one church and another church, and to reconcile between the believers within one church, rather than going out to file lawsuits. Sometimes our communication with another believer was broken. Friends used to talk to each other, but not anymore. Even as you listen to this, I'm certain that certain names and faces start to surface. Like the believers at Corinth, these are problems, but these are symptoms of an immature faith. Let's explore what some causes for the stunted growth. Clearly from reading 2 Corinthians, something had happened to Paul's relationship with the believers at Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need as some due letters of recommendation to you or from you?" Paul is saying that I used to be with you, and you, this is the church that I have started. I know you well, and you know me very well. But now have I become a stranger to you that you need a recommendation letter from me to tell you about who I am? And then chapter 2, 2 Corinthians 6, 12, "You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections." Paul is saying that your heart towards us is being restricted. As if Paul is saying that your artery towards me is being blocked by those cholesterols, by all those chunks in your blood veins. When the heart is closed to the apostles, to the word of God, then growth will be restricted and will not occur at all. So when my heart is closed towards you, whether you are my spouse, my parents, or fellow Christians, I will show little interest in your well-being. I will not be praying for you. The relationship will be superficial or non-existing. And this is wrong. It's so sad sometimes. We see what is as what should be. But such closed heart among believers, it is wrong. It's the symptom of spiritual immaturity. Let's take a look at some possible reasons for a closed heart in the Corinthian believers and see how we can learn from them. 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not like so many peddlers of God's word. And then 2 Corinthians 3:1, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendations to you or from you? Who were the so many, as some? Paul very specifically mentioned they were peddlers of God's word. They were the false teachers. They were teaching false and half-true doctrines, leading some away from Christian fellowship. And as the Corinthian Christians lacked that discernment, they followed the false teacher, their hearts and affections towards Paul have become restricted and become closed. Isn't this also true today? You have friends who know Christ around the same time as you did. You two were baptized together, attending some church, the same fellowship, or the same small groups. You were growing together. Then something happened. Your friend had found another teaching very attractive. And then he tried to influence you, but you stood firm in what you had learned. And the next thing you knew was that the two of you slowly began to drift apart. Your heart and emotions are separated from each other, and you became very distant. You see, when we lack discernment, when we follow certain false doctrines, it will close our hearts towards our Christian friends. When relationships are severed, it will affect our spiritual growth. See, the believers at Corinth had a restricted group because of their lack of discernment. They have followed the false teacher. There's another cause for restricted growth in verses 14 and 15. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? The believers at Corinth had compromised with sins among them. There's the mixture, intermingling of righteousness and unrighteousness, of light and of darkness, and of Christ and of Belial. They have compromised, and they have allowed sins to enter into their lives, into their community. And when this occurred, it will restrict their growth towards Paul. It restricts their growth. Again, I feel that we can certainly identify with this. I think of individuals who were once active in serving in this church. Then one day I noticed that they were not here anymore. And then later I found out, because of certain unrepentant sins in life, they have stopped coming to church. You see, when we refuse to repent of our sins, we slowly drift away from fellow Christians. Isn't it also true in marital relationship? When there is the sin of infidelity by one spouse, then the heart will slowly close towards the other spouse. When our hearts are close to others, our hearts are also close to God. And also there are times that you may be offended by another person. It's certainly the other person's fault. You should not have been offended by that. That person should not have done this. But you were offended. Then what? Oh, you start to harbor resentment and bitterness towards that person. There is that unforgiving spirit within you, and you refuse to deal with it. And in a matter of days, or sometimes weeks, you notice that your heart has closed towards that individual. So when we refuse to deal with sins in our lives, when we compromise with sins in our lives, it will restrict our heart to others. It will stop our growth. Is your heart closed to someone? This can be a person in your fellowship or even in a small group. This can also be a person in your family. Could be your spouse. Could be your parents. Or even your children. Is it because of false teachings, the lack of discernment of what is true and what is false? Or is it because of sins in our lives? We know those sins, but we refuse to deal with it. We refuse to repent. And therefore our hearts are closed to others. Is your heart closed to someone? Two Sundays ago, we called our attention to certain sins: greed, immorality, resentment, bitterness, unforgiving, dishonesty, gossip, uncontrolled anger, worry, obscene talks, and slander. Have these and other sins found a place in our lives? You know, without repentance, these sins will affect our relationship with others. It will restrict our affection for the other person, ultimately, standing our own growth. Yeah, the relationship is hurt. The relationship may be over, but yet we also have stopped growing. So in this passage, Paul is telling us that when there is a lack of discernment, following false teachings, or when we have compromised with sins in life, it will affect our relationship with other Christians. It will close our hearts towards them. When our hearts are towards men, you probably will notice that our hearts are also closed towards God. And this is how growth is restricted or even ceased. We have seen the Christians at Corinth, how their hearts were closed towards Paul, and consequently they stay in that infant state. They stay in the immature stage. Paul calls them, you're like a spiritual infant. You're like a baby spiritually. How was Paul's response? If I were Paul, if you were Paul, we probably would have said, now you have closed your heart to me. That is fine. That is your problem. And I don't care. I have better things to do. I have other people to relate to. But what did Paul say in verse 11 and 12? We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You may have closed your heart to us, but our hearts, our means the apostles, and Paul is saying that you have closed my heart to me. You have even asked, as if you're asking for a recommendation letter from someone about me. You are treating me like a stranger. But I have not closed my heart to you. My heart is still wide open to you. This is what Christ is like, isn't it? Even when our hearts are closed to Him, when we were His enemies, His heart is always wide open to us. Because of Christ's heart is wide open to us. Paul is saying, yes, your heart may be close to me, but my heart is still wide open to you. When my heart is open to you, I will care for your well-being. I will be praying for you. And then if we carefully read 2 Corinthians, we also learn how to keep our hearts open to others. Let's listen to how Paul described himself in chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Just imagine the great apostle saying that we were so burdened beyond our strength that we were despaired of life. It's almost saying that we are so burdened that we're even thinking about death. What is the point of living, isn't it? Paul was sharing his despair and his heavy burden with them. Chapter 2, verse 4, for I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart and with many tears. It is about his physical pain and about his emotional anguish. Paul was angry. He was mad at something. Can you imagine the apostle who wrote First Corinthians chapter 13, the one who wrote Galatians 5:22 about the fruit of the Spirit, he is admitting that he has so much pain within his heart. There was anger there. And then in the same chapter 2, verse 12, 13, when I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find any my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. He described his struggle in decision making. The person who was so certain of God's salvation, God's election, here said, my spirit was not at rest. I was a little confused about what I should do because I didn't see my brother Timothy there, the great apostle. Confused about decision making, not sure where to go. And then chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. How did Paul describe himself and his companions? We were jars made of clay. Certainly we would say, Paul, you are not made of clay. You are jars made of silver, jars made of gold. But he said, no, we are jars made of clay, and you know what jars made of clay is like. If you drop it, and that's it, it shattered. And then sometimes when you look at a jar, you see all kinds of lines there, cracks, and there's something that you would not really spend a lot of money buying there, unless this is an antique. But, you know, you better make sure whether it's real antique or just someone else's junk. But Paul said, no, we are jars of clay. What do we see here? We are seeing Paul's open confession of his weaknesses, his frustration, and his struggles in life. In other words, he was very vulnerable and he was in need of God's grace. Even though the Corinthian believers' hearts have been closed to him, but his heart remained wide open to them. He kept his heart open by admitting his vulnerability and his need for God and for God's grace. Isn't it true that if my heart is closed towards you, the last thing that I will do is to admit that I'm weak, that I may be wrong, isn't it? When my heart is closed to you, I want to show you how right I am, how strong I am, but never my weak side. I want the whole world to know that you have offended me, that you are the one that did the wrong, that I'm the one that was wrong. Therefore, I couldn't really care less about your well-being. From here, we learn that if we are to grow, we need to keep our heart wide open to our brothers and sisters and also to our family members. But for me to keep my heart open, it requires me to acknowledge my weaknesses and my struggles in life and also my need for God's grace. For me to open my heart to you at times require that I have to acknowledge sometimes for us in the caring, in the pastoral ministry, caring for people can become a chore and a responsibility. How I wish I would just get this over with and then I'll go home. And then even on Sunday, there's that feeling, oh, how I wish the Sunday would be just over real soon. Or do I have to preach another sermon? Oh, I can't wait till another 1 or 2 weeks that, you know, that I don't have to preach that much anymore. I might have shared with you there, or even mornings, I would say, well, I really don't want to feel like going to church today. And then Cynthia would be reminding me, yeah, but don't forget you're the pastor. You know how they feel. You feel that way, and I feel that way too. If I'm to remain, to keep my heart open to you, I have to admit my weaknesses, my struggles, and how much I need God's grace, just like you do. And then let's also go on to look at what is the motivation to keep our hearts wide open to others. Why is it so important to have a heart wide open to others? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14 have these familiar words. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Paul explained to us that because of our sinfulness, we were all enemies of God. However, when Christ died on the cross, our sins are forgiven and we are brought near to God. We are being reconciled with God. Moreover, when Christ died on the cross, he also broke down the wall of hostility between us and our enemy, between the Jews and the non-Jews. And because of his death on the cross, that we are all now reconciled to each other, we are at peace with one another. If Christ had already taken away the wall of hostility between you and between me, how can I erect it again by closing my heart to you? Christ's death on the cross brings about the necessity of keeping our hearts wide open to each other. Not only does Christ's death on the cross demonstrate how wide he had opened his heart to us, even before we knew him, when we were still sinners and enemies, when our hearts was closed to him, his heart was wide open to us. Therefore, as I'm growing into Christ's likeness, with the Holy Spirit's help and by God's grace, I will also open my heart to you. When I think about how Christ had died for me and opened his heart wide open to me, how can my heart remain shut to you? And for this reason, Paul in chapter 6, at the end of verse 13, he said, he's almost pleading with them, in return, widen your hearts also. Whenever I go to one brother's home, I always admire and envy his fish tank. There's a fish that started out about 1 inch and is now over 12 inches or even longer. Whenever I saw the fish, I asked him, tell me, what do you do to your fish? What do you feed him? How often do you change the water? Do you know what the pH of your water is? He said, no, I didn't do anything. I change water once in a while. Every day I feed them one spoonful of fish food. And, you know, they just keep growing, growing, growing. When you look at a scavenger, it looks like a monster. And then lately he had another big fish. He said, oh, someone caught a fish, small one, in one of the rivers. And just gave it to him. He put it in the fish tank and started growing, growing. It's not that big, but it is big. You know, I always admire that. And sometimes we say, oh, how I wish my fish can grow like his. You know, even though I'm very satisfied with a 6-inch fish. But when you see his 12-inch longer fish, there's no way of comparison. It would even make it worse. I took care of my fish tank better than he does his. You see, in order for the fish to grow, it has to be in the right environment. There has to be a lack of all those unhealthy ingredients. They have to be rid of. The same is true with our spiritual world. When I see you in this and many other churches, my heart is often encouraged when I notice the evidences of growth. Yesterday we were talking about how one individual that became a Christian about a year or two, maybe just a year ago, to see how she was growing in the Lord, reading the scriptures, sharing the gospel with others. When I see your life quality, your relationship with others, and your ministry in the church, they are all clear indications that you are growing in the Lord. However, there are also times that my heart is also saddened when I see how some believer has stopped growing. Yes, we're still in the same church. We are serving in the church. Yet many years after baptism, we still remain immature in our faith. we have allowed sins to come into our lives, closing our hearts to fellow Christians. Nothing bothers us more than to see how believers closed their hearts to another person. It's so wrong, it's so sad. So for us to grow like Jesus did, for us to grow to become like Jesus, we also to have a wide open heart to others. An open heart to others often reflects an open heart to God. An open heart is the key ingredient to Christian growth. Shall we pray? Certainly a message like this will cause some of us to feel a little uncomfortable. Because for whatever reason, our hearts may be closed to someone. Yes, we have all the reasons for closing our hearts. But this is really not right, isn't it? This morning, in a few minutes, we'll be taking the communion together. Communion is a time for us to remember how Christ loved us and died for us. And his death is a demonstration of how wide his heart is opened to us. So may I encourage you that prior to taking this cup and this bread, that you may want to ask the Holy Spirit to come and show you how your heart may have been close to someone in this community. Even though you may be the offended one, but you need to ask God to help you to forgive so that your heart can be wide open again. Will you please, in your own words, tell God about your situation? Well, he knows, but it's good to hear from you too. And I ask him to help you to forgive so your hearts can be open to him or her again. Father, thank you for listening to our prayers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.